gather with you. You know, the church is not a building or an event. It's the gathering of God's people. We can do that in a cafeteria. Come on. So, I've been studying through the book of Luke, learning about who Jesus is, what he is like, what he claimed, what he taught, what he did. It's been a marvelous study. If you haven't been with us, I would encourage you to go back and read the first five chapters. We're in Luke chapter 6 now. We're going to pick up where we left off. We're in what some people call the Sermon on the Plain. Jesus has given the Beatitudes, the ways that we should be characterized as believers. He gave some blessings. He says some crazy stuff like, blessed are those who are hungry or poor or persecuted or hated. If you're living for eternity, you know that your reward is great in heaven and that your security is not on this earth. Woe to those who find their security or live for the pleasures of this world only, because it's all you're going to get. Woe, destruction is coming. Live for eternity. Today we're looking at Jesus continuing that thought. You're going to be in Luke chapter 6 if you want to find your spot. We're going to read verses 27 through 36. This story reminded me of God's power in my life. If you don't know me, don't let this scare you away. But before the Lord saved me, and to be real, before the Lord saved any of us, we were wicked people. I got to exploit that wickedness in different ways, maybe a little bit more. God didn't save me till I was 22. Before he saved me, I'd spent a year in jail for selling drugs. The way I got caught was a dude named Paul set me up. Now, I don't know if y'all know this, but snitches get stitches. And it wasn't cool. And all my old buddies, half of them are sitting in here today, praise God, were looking for Paul. He had to pay for what he did. I got out of jail worse off than I was when I went in. And I've never been any tougher than I am now, but I thought I was at least. You know, I had to puff my chest out just a little bit more back then. I could puff it out a little bit more back then. But my intention was to hurt that dude bad. I think he's the only guy that I really ever hated. I've always had a pretty cheerful, mischievous disposition. But I hated this guy. Hated him bad. I saw him one time after I got out, and my blood boiled. He was in a car next to mine, and we made eye contact. And he kind of nodded at me, and I thought, this sucker going to nod at me? I said, man, I will kill you. And dude took off, and I was like, all right, he's in town. We're going to get him. But the Lord had a different plan. Jesus, we sang about it. While I was running from him, when I didn't want him, and I wasn't even looking for him, he saved me. He intercepted my life through a faithful friend of ours named Dusty, praying for all his old buddies by name. And God allowed me to experience emptiness and futility and brokenness. And I tried to clean my life up so I could go to church and not feel guilty, but I couldn't get clean enough. And Dusty came and told me how God loved me, but I was separated from him because of my sin, and how Jesus came and died in my place, and that if I would trust him, all this stuff I was trying to quit in my own power, Jesus would change me from the inside out. And that night, I was ripe. The Lord saved me. I remember talking about this heart change with my mom about a month later, and I was using this as an illustration. I was like, I used to hate Paul, but now I love him. I love him. If I saw him, now by the way, Paul was a big old rascal, a whole lot bigger than me. And I remember thinking, well, I ain't going to just fight him hand to hand. I'm going to hit him with a baseball bat. I remember thinking, well, you hit somebody with a baseball bat, they might die. And I thought, if he dies, he dies. And now I love this guy. I said, Mama, if I saw him, I wouldn't be mad at him. I'd give him a hug. And I'd tell him what God did in my life. And I would tell him that God could do it in his life. So about 2 years later, I saw Paul at a friend's house. Big old dude. Scars on his neck from bar fights, broken beer bottles. I mean, truth be known, he probably would have wiped the floor with me if we ever tangled. Good thing God saved me when he did. And I said, Paul, I've been wanting to tell you something. And I could tell him, he's kind of tensing up. And I put my hand out to shake it. And I said, Paul, bro, I know how they scare you. You were young too. I know how they talk to you. Paul, it ain't your fault I went to jail. If I never sold drugs, you couldn't have set me up. It's my fault. I said, Paul, I just want you to know I don't hold a grudge, man. I forgive you. And that big old joker bent over and put his big old head on my little bitty shoulder and cried. And he said, man, I've been carrying that around with me for so long. Now, I don't know if Paul got saved. I hope he did. We talked about Jesus. He's actually gone on. He's passed away since then. That is the gospel. So here's my question for you, and I think it's Jesus' question to us from his text today. How can we withhold what we have been so freely given? That's our title, long title. How can we withhold what we have so freely been given? Luke chapter 6, verse 27. Jesus says, but I say to you who hear, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who abuse you. To the one who strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from the one who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. Give to the one who begs from you, and from the one who takes away your goods, do not demand them back. And as you wish that others would do to you, do so to them. Verse 32, here's his rationale. If you love those who love you, what benefit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what benefit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. And if you lend to those from whom you expect to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners and to get back the same amount. Verse 35, but love your enemies and do good and lend, expecting nothing in return, and your reward will be great. And you will be sons of the Most High, for He is kind to the ungrateful and the evil. Be merciful even as your Father is merciful. Lord, it is impossible for us to wrestle with this rightly apart from your help today. Please help us to see the gospel in this text. Please set us free and help us to live for your glory and yours alone. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, disclaimers I think that are important. Number one, these are generalizations. Number two, this is more about the attitude of our heart than about a checklist of things to do or not do. And number three, this is for individual disciples. This isn't saying that police officers shouldn't protect society. It's not saying that armies shouldn't defend countries. This is about your heart. So let God speak to your heart today. Number one, this isn't just a bunch of do's and don'ts to follow. That's what we want it to be, right? What do I have to do and what can I get away with not doing? Verses 27 through 31. Love, check. Bless, check. Pray, check. Give, check. Do good, check. Be merciful, check. Turn the other cheek, check, 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 check. By the way, we can't do that, right? We can't do that. We can't love like that. This isn't a checklist. As a matter of fact, this is impossible for us to do in our own power, which means if it's happening through us, it's impossible for us to take the credit. These are examples of what will flow from our hearts if we are living the gospel life. Point number two, this is about kingdom attitude. What's in our hearts? What's in the well comes up in the bucket. What's in the toothpaste comes out when you squeeze it. So, here's our attitude. Number one, verses 35 and 36. Be like your Father. Be sons of the Most High God. Verse 27, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you, verse 28. Pray for those who abuse you. Turn the other cheek when insulted, verse 29. I think we'll clarify that. This is a slap on the face that is meant to embarrass or insult or dishonor. How many guys in here, you cringe when you hear me say, turn the other cheek? It's not normal. By the way, this isn't saying don't defend yourself or defend your family. This is saying your attitude of your heart is not seeking retaliation. How dare you dishonor me? Now you're going to get yours in return. Turn the other cheek when dishonored, insulted. Verse 29, if someone takes our goods, give them more. Don't cling to the things of this earth that moth will destroy and rust is going to eat up and fire is going to burn. Cling to the things in heaven. Live, store up treasures in heaven. Don't demand back what has been taken. Verse 30, verse 31. Treat others the way you wish they would treat you. Not the way that they are treating you, the way you wish they would treat you. When Micah was probably about 7, I quoted this verse to him because of the way he was treating his sister. And he said, well, I am treating her the way that she's treating me, so it must be how she wants to be treated. Do you remember that? I said, Micah, you got to be like Jesus. He said, well, I'm not Jesus. Only Jesus is perfect. That's the way we see this, right? That's the way we feel when we hear these things. Because my flesh says, man, Jesus wants me to be a chump. My flesh says, I don't want to be a pushover. He's trying to make me look weak. If I act like this, I'll be an easy target. But his spirit then says, you're not home yet. Don't live like it. You feel this way because you're listening to the wrong perspective. You got the wrong goggles on. You need those kingdom goggles we've been talking about. The Spirit says, this is not weakness. This is meekness. Meekness is power under control. Try telling a bunch of guys in jail to act like this when all they got is their pride. And if you let anybody take an inch, you better bet they're going to try to take a mile. But that's based on fear. This says, rise above that. Don't be afraid of anybody. Be afraid of only one. You see the difference? By the way, our Lord leads by example. Think about our Father in heaven, who loved the world so much that he gave his only begotten Son, that allowed those men to hang him on a cross and blaspheme him and spit in his face and beat him and mock him and hurl insults at him. That's the Father. Think about the Son, who came to this earth willingly, left his glory and splendor and recognition and rightful praise in heaven, and did not regard equality with God a thing to be clung to, but emptied himself, taking on the form of a servant and being made in the likeness of man, did not cling to his rights, but emptied himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. That's our Savior. That's our example. We can't say, God, you don't understand. He's like, wait a minute. I really am God. And I really let them do that to me. I let them whip my back so much it looked like hamburger meat. I let them mock me with a crown of thorns and beat me with a rod. I let them strip me naked and hang me on a cross. I carried that cross. They didn't put me on that cross. I let them put me on that cross. Those nails didn't keep me on the cross. I kept myself on that cross. That is our God and our Savior, our example. He leads by example. Think about the Holy Spirit. Y'all, we can't do this power under control stuff in our own power. It's impossible. Praise be to God. He didn't give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of love, a spirit of power, a spirit of self-control. Kids, who memorized Galatians chapter 5, verse 22? If you walk by the Spirit, you won't carry out the desires of the flesh. What's the fruit of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, patience, what else? Gentleness, kindness, self-control, what else? Goodness, faithfulness. I think we got them all. Good job, everybody. Fruit of the Spirit. Now, fruit tells you what's in the tree, right? Y'all ever seen a tree before and you're like, I can't tell what, like my dad was actually asking me what kind of tree in my yard was dying. I said, I can't tell. It's either this or that. He said, well, you'll know when the leaves come out. Even more surefire, sometimes you see a fruit tree that looks pretty similar to another fruit tree, right? Is it pears or apples? Is it peaches or plums? Well, you're going to know when what? When you see the fruit. Am I surrendered to the Holy Spirit? Well, you're going to know by the fruit that comes out of you. You can't do it in your own power. But Jesus is not calling us to do it in our own power. He's calling us to receive his love and then to allow it to flow out of us to others. Jesus is calling us to love with his love. He's calling us to trust him. John read about it earlier. To leave room for his vengeance, to trust that he will make it right. Now, I think Jesus is using an extreme example of loving and forgiving your enemies, right? Think about that. That's hard. It sounds so difficult. But that's exactly what God has done for us. We were his enemies. We committed treason. Cussed his name and spit in his face. Every one of us. Don't forget that we were all once God's enemies. This isn't only about enemies, by the way. It's for the people in your life as well. Think about this for a minute. I think that we have talked worse to those that we love than to anybody else. Our parents, whoo, man. Our spouse, our siblings, our children, our close friends. Maybe you've been hurt the most by those closest to you. Or maybe it's vice versa. It's not just about our enemies. That's just saying how far it stretches. But what about those that are we're closest to? Can we forgive and love and give and not demand back? And treat the way we wish we would be treated. So here's how we apply this point. Who is God calling you to forgive? Or maybe, ask forgiveness from? Have you experienced God's grace, His mercy, His love, His forgiveness that we've been talking about? You could be in this room today. You could have grown up in church. You could have walked aisles, said prayers, been sprinkled, been dunked. None of that matters if you're not a child of God. Is He the Lord of your life? Have you surrendered to Him? Have you tasted this mercy that I speak of? God's love is not based on our performance. Rest in that, y'all. If you're in Him, you're safe and secure. God doesn't love you if you do better or more. He doesn't love you less if you do worse or do less. It's not based on performance. Therefore, the love we give is not based on performance. Do you love those in your life with the same love that God shows you? Here's a way to ask it. Is your life defined by God's love? Would those closest to you, would your kids describe you as merciful? Ooh, that's dangerous. I'm not going to try. I realize kids can have a crazy perspective sometimes, right? Like, you spank me today, you're not gracious at all. I'm not saying don't spank your kids. Wear them kids out, y'all. That's love. But don't do it out of anger. Do it out of love. Would those closest to you describe you as merciful? Do you treat others the way you wish to be treated? Let's ask it like this. Would you like to be treated the same way you treat others? So, as we ponder these big picture truths, these attitudes of the heart, what needs to change? I'm not the Holy Spirit, but right now, there's things He's putting in your heart. What do you need to repent of? Who do you need to forgive, or who do you need to apologize to? This is not just about loving those who are easy to love. Verses 32 through 36. Now, point number three, we're called to be like our Father. He said, even lost people, He said, sinners, unbelievers, those without God's love in their hearts can love and be kind to those who treat them well, right? Like, if you're treating me the way I want to be treated, I'll be nice back. That's just natural. But He said in verse 32, there's no benefit to this. He said, I'm telling you, love your enemies and do good and lend, expecting nothing in return, and your reward will be great. I think He's referring way back, well, not way back, just right back up here to verse 23. Or let's go to 22. Blessed are you when people hate you, and when they exclude you and revile you and spurn your name as evil on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day. Leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great. Where? In heaven. Where are you storing up your treasures? He said, when you act like this, you'll be known as sons of God. Of the Most High. Don't you want to be known as sons and daughters of the King? Don't you want to represent Him well on this earth? Because it says He is kind to the ungrateful and the evil. He's been kind to us. We are the ungrateful and the evil. There are people right now around this world shaking their fist at God, and He still gives them rain. He still gives them crops. He still takes care of them. Y'all ever had teenagers? They can be unkind and ungrateful. Not mine. They're awesome. But I mean, some of y'all got some. I'm just kidding. Be merciful even as your Father is merciful. There are some wonderful examples in Scripture of this. We've talked about John 3:16, how God the Father sent His Son. How merciful and kind and loving is that? We've talked about Jesus on the cross. While they hurled insults at Him, He says, "Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do." Can you imagine being like Jesus in that moment? Excruciating pain and discomfort. It doesn't even scratch the surface. The agony. And He yells, while they hang Him there, while He hangs, "Forgive them, Father. They don't understand what they're doing." It reminds me of Stephen, the first recorded martyr. He was one of the deacons, a great brother. Man, this guy preached a long sermon and showed everyone there that Jesus is a Messiah. And then he brought it home. When he landed his message, they got it. "You crucified the Messiah." And they didn't like it. So what did they do? They drug him out of town. They picked up these big rocks and they started stoning him to death. You can read about it. Acts chapter 17. It says that He peered into heaven and His face shone like an angel. I see the glory on His face. And it's like Jesus is stooping over, comforting Him while He breathes His last. While they are pelting Him with rocks, He says, "Lord, forgive them. Forgive them." Can you imagine being one of the people that were stoning Him in that moment? Like, you would expect Him to be fighting back, lashing out, right? Like, I'm thinking, man, where's my rocks at? I could throw rocks too. There was a young man there named Saul. He was watching the cloaks of those who stoned Stephen and gave his hearty approval that they stomped this guy out of existence. But just a few chapters later, Saul meets Jesus. God turns his life upside down. We talked about it last week. Saul went to the known Roman Empire at that time and traveled thousands and thousands of miles planting churches all across the known world saying that Jesus is the Messiah. Don't you know that Stephen's death, not just his death, but his attitude while being killed, had to penetrate Saul's heart? You can't overlook that. So how do we apply this? Well, there's two overarching applications in this passage, this whole passage. As you wish that others would do to you, do so to them, right? Treat people with kindness. Be merciful and loving like your Father in heaven. Be like your Father in heaven. Those are your two principles, two applications. And you should be thinking, yeah, but how? Right? How do we really love like this? It's not natural. Well, first, we have to remember how much we have been not just forgiven in the past. I don't know about y'all, but I need God's grace every second of every day. I mean, I have thoughts that I wish were not there. I get frustrated in traffic. I lose my temper with my family. I need God's mercy every second of every day. Second, think about from where He has rescued you from. Where would you be without His grace and mercy and love and forgiveness in your life? We spit in His face and He pursued us. We spurned His name and He reconciled us to Himself. Have you experienced His mercy? You can't give what you don't have. Here's a gut check for you. Ready? Are you characterized by grace and mercy and love? Is that characterize you? Are you characterized by meanness and bitterness and unforgiveness? I'm asking you, are you a child of God and do you act like it? It is impossible that there is anybody in this room that doesn't need to repent. We need God's grace right this very second. Now, here's another way. This is about knowing God, y'all. This is about trusting Him. This is about trusting His ways. This is going to help you, okay? And there's no easy way. There's no shortcuts to this, okay? But if you want to be able to love like this, if you want to be able to live like this, you got to know God. You got to dig in. You got to get your Bible out, and you got to pursue Him and get to know Him and listen to His voice. But I tell you this, the more you get to know Him, the more you're going to love Him. And the more you love Him, the more His love is going to flow through you. You got to get to know Him. And then when you get to know Him, you can trust Him. He's trustworthy. And you'll realize God is sovereign. He is in absolute, total control of everything that I'm going through right now. And God is just. He's going to make it all right one day somehow. I don't know how. He's good. I know that He is loving. No matter what I'm experiencing right now, it does not mean He doesn't love me, because God is love. And when we get to know Him, we know He's faithful even when I'm not. When I tried to quit being a Christian, he just gently brought me right back. He's faithful even when we're not. We can trust Him no matter what we're going through. When we know His character, we know that He is wise and that He doesn't waste anything. Y'all hear that? God wastes nothing. Not even our suffering. Not even when we're treated unfairly. And we learn to trust Him more and more as we walk with Him. Hardships are opportunities to grow in our faith. When we are treated unjustly now, we can walk by faith and not by sight, trusting that God's justice will come. If we have been utterly forgiven of our sin, our treason, how can we withhold forgiveness to others? We cannot do this in our own power. I'm going to say that a lot. But in Christ, we have such amazing power available to us to live out this gospel life. We are called not to walk by the power of our flesh, but to walk by the power of God's Spirit in us. We are called to live the Spirit-filled life. Does God's Spirit control you? I think people get confused about this. When you're saved, the Holy Spirit, He comes inside of us. He is our deposit, our guarantee. We are indwelt by the Holy Spirit at conversion. But then to be filled with the Spirit is not so much about how much of the Holy Spirit we have, but how much of us He has. To be filled with the Spirit is to be surrendered to Him. It is to be empowered by Him. We talked about the fruit of the Spirit. Let's talk a little. I imagine y'all have seen this before. Got a little illustration for you. I'm going to pull a John Sager. I'm going to do an illustration for you. Y'all like chocolate milk? This illustrates the Spirit-filled life, okay? So here's some milk. Just plain old white milk. See it? Now we got some chocolate. Y'all like that chocolate? Sent my kids to the store. They don't know to buy generic stuff yet. We got the Hershey's. Now, chocolate milk. The milk is our life. The chocolate at the bottom, that's the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. He's there. Even when you can't tell. Even when you can't taste Him. Even when you don't bear His fruit. And someone cuts you off in traffic, and you can be like, "Rah!" Or you can say, "God, help me. Stir it a little bit. Help me, Jesus." Somebody takes something away from you, man, all you want to do is chase them down and take it back. And you say, "God, I can't do this in my own power. It's not possible." And you pray. The more you pray, the more you're stirring it up, the more He's becoming a little bit more evidential in your life. Your spouse hurts your feelings, and you can either get mad or you can pray. God, it's impossible for me to do this. You hear a sermon like this about forgiveness and you think, I can't. I am ate up with bitterness. There's no way I can even do it. And you say, God, I'm ate up with bitterness. Would you please help me to love with your love? And you keep praying and you keep surrendering. And every time you're convicted, you repent of it. And you're stirring that spirit up. You're fanning it into flames. And the next thing you know, you're looking a whole lot more chocolate. A little bit more chocolatey. A little bit more tasty. Ooh, that's some dark, rich, good, rich chocolate milk. Anybody? Katie Jane, you want some chocolate milk? Some cold chocolate milk. Mmm. Y'all know y'all want to taste it, don't you? See me after church. You see that? The more we stir it, the more we stir, the more we surrender, the more we trust, the more we pray, the more evident His Spirit is in our lives, the more fruit we bear. There is such joy, y'all. This is, I don't want you to miss this. I don't want you to hear, pull yourselves up by your bootstrap. I don't want you to hear just love. I want you to hear this. Bitterness is bondage and poison. Unforgiveness keeps you captive to sin. Sin is destructive, and Jesus came to set us free from all sin. And when we cling to this, when we hold grudges, it turns into bitterness and it enslaves us. And y'all, I just want you to hear me say, there's such joy and freedom with this kind of love. Forgiveness and mercy trusts God to deal with it. And He sets us free from carrying it around. Trey, you don't understand what I've gone through. You don't know how they talked to me. You don't know what they did to me. I don't. But Jesus does. And you can pray to Him with confidence. We don't have a great high priest up in heaven that's never walked this world. He walked this world. He was tempted in every single way that we are. Yet He was without sin. And we can draw near to His throne of mercy with confidence, knowing that He'll give us what we need. I don't know, but He does. He can forgive you, and He will. Not just forgive you, but set you free. So here's my question. Are you living in His gospel freedom today? As the band comes forward, let me ask you this. How's the Lord stirring in your heart? Let's take a few minutes. I'm going to ask you just real quick, just for a few minutes. Just if you want to, it might help you close your eyes and just think for a minute. Just pray. We'll give you a couple things to think through. Let's be still before the Lord, and I'm going to invite you, ask Him right now, God, what are you saying to me, and what do you want me to take away from this? Talk to Him.